This is A Mexican Crossing Lines. Hello and welcome to A Mexican Crossing Lines. This is Cindy Gomez Shemp.
And this is Duke Gomez Shemp.
And you're listening to 88.1 KPPPLP Fargo Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. And tonight we're talking about the Pipeline Police. The Pipeline Police. These are Pipeline Police. They're paid mercenaries that are working directly for a company, directly for the pipeline, so that it can be protected, so that it can be defended, so that the DAPL workers and the security for DAPL will be defended. And so they can keep doing their illegal work. Because as you have heard, this pipeline is going to continue to be built. I don't know, actually, if you've heard this, but Energy Transfer Partners immediately said, right after the easement was denied, that they were going to continue, and they expected to be done on time. So they never planned on following the law. They never cared about the law. If that wasn't already evident by the way they try to shove this program, this project, through with the least amount of regulations, with the least amount of people watching. And right now, we can see that the people of Standing Rock are being vindicated as we see a pipeline spill that has just taken place. A giant pipeline spill. I don't know if you guys know about this. All of the links will be along with this program that will be attached. Hey, from Washington, the Lumi Nation is with us. Okay. Thank you, Maniwichoni. So, hey, Logan, I see you on there. I want you guys to know, these folks lie. They keep telling you, it's a state-of-the-art pipeline. It's the safest way to the safest. It's so safe. It's super, super safe.
They will know in 30 seconds, it'll alert them with their sensors that there's a leak. Well, this pipeline that just burst, it was 3 hours before they realized it was leaking.
And they didn't care. They know it's going to leak. John Bolenbaugh, who is an ex-employee, I've talked about him before on our show. If you don't know who he is, Google him. Google John Bolenbaugh. He's got a bunch of videos for my listeners out there. You guys, my listeners, you guys are also my media support system.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are the community journalists letting people know what's going on because you're telling the truth. You're sharing your stories and you let the media, like me, you let the non-corporate, non-profit media know what's really going on. We're hyper-local. We're sharing this information right here in the Fargo-Moorhead region so that everybody here, this area of this metro area of about 200,000, quarter of a million people, so they can be informed about the truth. All the pipelines leak. In fact, there's a certain amount that they're allowed to leak. There's a certain amount they're allowed to leak without having any repercussions for it. So if you think that this is safe, you really don't have any concern for the environment. And we are at a point of no return in this world, not just in this country, in this world. We cannot continue to allow our earth, our water, our air, our food, our children, our family members to be poisoned, our animals to be poisoned. We are destroying the earth, the ecosystem. We don't know how many generations are going to survive at this point. We've got climate deniers that are trying to make people out there believe that all of this damage we're doing to the earth, that there are no consequences. We even have people out there trying to make you folks believe that every time one of these pipeline leaks all over the place, that they actually cleaned it up.
Yeah.
They have you believing that they clean it up. And that they mitigated all the damages and that they reimbursed all the people who were damaged, all the industries that were destroyed as a result of these pipeline leaks, all the people who were poisoned and made ill. The truth is they cannot do that. They never even intend to do that. They try to put lipstick on a pig, window dressing. on something that is a catastrophic disaster, and then they try to tell you, it's all good now. Don't you worry. You go right back to drinking your water. It's going to be safe and clean. Feed it to your children. It's okay. I don't believe these people. I don't believe North Dakota's regulatory bodies who have seen under their watch, they have seen over 300 spills, major spills, 700 other minor spills of toxic, poisonous water that in essence makes the earth inert. It sterilizes the, you can't grow anything in the places where they poison the water with these fracking fluids, with these chemicals, with the oil. You can't fix that. Once you've done that to the earth, you cannot fix it. So this is what this is what they're trying to make us believe, that, you know, this is a safe way of moving oil. We have to continue to use oil because there's just no other way, right? Absolutely no other way. And they got us believing this stupid lie that we can't stop all of these extractive industries, that we can't see a better tomorrow, that we don't have any survival ahead of us. They want you to believe that, but it's not true. So I want you guys to pay attention to this, because this is the first pipeline spill that I heard the public get notified about on a wide scale in North Dakota. All of the other ones, you won't even hear about. Nobody was notified.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what the regulatory body said? They said they were concerned about over-reporting, even though they had never reported.
Wow.
This is like, what?
Yep. They want people to know about it, in other words.
Carrie says that John Bolenbaugh said that the oil companies regulate themselves and make more money by contracting themselves out for the cleanup.
Yep.
It's true. Thank you for bringing that up, Carrie. Or is it Kari?
Yeah.
You'll have to correct me if I got that wrong. I love you, though. I love you. Thank you for your support. Thank you guys for your donations, for your support, for your kind words. You guys are part of our media family, and we really appreciate every single one of you, every single follower, every single email, every single comment.
That's right, and we really appreciate when you do give us a call. We've had many calls since we've been doing live streaming and from our other shows, too. If you'd like to contact us, leave a message on our message line. You can call 701-566-0917. Again, that's 701-566-0917. You can tweet us at media_PPP. Now, if you want to email Cindy, it's cindy@kppfm.com or me, duke@kppfm.com. You can follow us on Facebook at 88.1 FM Fargo-Moorhead, the People's Press Project, Mexican, and also go to our website, kppfm.com, and then go to the updates on Standing Rock to the podcast, and you can see all the shows we've been doing, and also hit our donation tab there and help support independent media.
Yes, please. Also, yes, please. We need your support. So I wanted to tell you, these pipeline police are going too far, and they're desperate. Like the black snake, they too are desperate. Why? Because they've been sued. Why? Because they're being sued for human rights abuses, because they have been caught with their hands in the cookie jar. We've got them dead to rights. There's so many videos. There's so much evidence against them, okay? And it's ridiculous. It's insanity. Somebody just told me that they found some dead cows near the pipeline spill. Wow. And Kari's telling me that 176,000 gallons spilled just... It wasn't even 200 miles. It wasn't even 200 miles. It was closer than that, like 150-some miles away from where people have been demonstrating and praying and demanding their rights to clean water. This is a human rights issue. This is a human rights issue of our day. This is the civil and human rights issue of our day. And people are fighting. People are demanding that they have a chance to be heard. But the fact of the matter is, our problem with our police here in North Dakota is a problem nationwide. And the problems that we have been seeing here, Duke and I have been talking about this for years. Mm-hmm. We've been doing podcast shows even before we got on the radio. We were doing shows and we were talking about this. In fact, if you're listening to our broadcast tonight at 7, this is going to go on at 10 tonight, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time for those of you around the world that are following us. But I wanted to let you know that this show and all the other shows that we've done in the past years, you can go find them at kpppfm.com under our Standing Rock updates if you want to find those. And also you can listen to all the other ones, right?
Yep, and under a podcast.
Hey, from Alabama. Thank you guys for joining us. Cindy says corporations are running the government. Yes, they are. And now we have a really lousy businessman, bankrupt, rapist, racist billionaire running the country. A game show host, practically, this man is. You know, that's what we have. That's our president-elect. It's very sad stuff. So I want you to know this is a problem that has been brewing for a long time. The environment in which a Trump presidency comes to pass happens on the watch of a country that has allowed its police forces to kill people with impunity, to violate people's civil and human rights. Hey, North Carolina, you know what I'm talking about. Violations of civil rights, right? You know. Mm-hmm. Cincinnati, woo, you guys know, don't you? Richard, you guys know about police violating people's civil rights? How about Alamosa, Colorado? Thank you very much for joining us. Redville, Virginia. Eugene, Oregon.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, guys. Please don't forget to share this program because I want folks to know what's really going on. I have some exclusive stuff to share with you. A lot of the stuff is stuff that's been pre-recorded. I went and we did some research to find it so you could hear it for yourselves. And we're going to share it with you tonight. So first, I want you to hear from our very own Sheriff Laney. Sheriff Laney is the operations guy that is working for Kyle Kirchmeier in Morton County. He's his operations manager. Is that what he's called?
Yep.
So this guy has been interviewed in the past. Did I tell you that Duke and I have been talking about this for a while? We also started a campaign. Hello from Milwaukee. Hey, Houston, that's where I was born. That's where I was born. So I wanted you guys to know that we've been trying to talk about the increased militarization of the police.
Oh, yeah.
And if you want a really good foundational document to read that gives you the whole history of the militarization of the police in our country and all of the laws around policing, how police came to be, you need to read Rise of the Warrior Cop, Radley Balco's book. Great, great book. Gives you a great history. So I want you to know that this is some of the interviews that Sheriff Laney, the guy that is out there currently busting people's heads, he was the one that was in the videos with Fargo police arresting a vet for trying to hand someone, allegedly, he said he was trying to hand the police a flower.
And it was in downtown Bismarck, North Dakota.
It was filmed. Unicorn Riot was there. So this guy, he was pressed about this before. We brought this to the local media, this brutalization of people in our communities over policing, racial profiling, the increased militarization, and the lack of need for any of that stuff. We don't need SWAT to respond to suicides in our town. We don't need to have these militarized police vehicles in our small towns. I kept saying, this is not Fallujah. This is Fargo. Why is this here? I don't want to get used to that. In the same way that I said to Duke, I don't like the idea that we're sitting here getting used to the Army National Guard being on 1806. And we're just supposed to drive by and be like, hi. Oh, hi. Look at the nice soldier. Why? Why should we be doing that? We should be freaking out. Why is there soldiers out in the middle of the prairie bothering indigenous people for praying? Why is this happening? It should disturb you. And if it doesn't disturb you, then you've gone to sleep. And you need to wake up. You need to wake up. You guys need to wake up. Aho. Thank you, Faith. Yes, we are living in a time of fascism. I'm terrified of it. We need to talk about it. We can't let fear get a hold of us. We have to face it. We have to face it head on, fearlessly. We have to share the truth. We have to speak the truth. And we cannot stop just because there's a Trump presidency coming in. A lot of people keep asking me. My dad asked me the other day, in fact. Santa Fe, thank you for joining us. Hey, Des Moines, Iowa. Hey, Alyssa. P. People from Iowa. That's my home state. Okay, guys. So let me just set this up. This is Lainey talking about how after we, the People's Press Project, the nonprofit, mm-hmm. our cop coverage campaign put into the media all over the place that we don't need any of this militarized police. They had him on a show to respond to all of these complaints from the public that we don't really need all of this militarized police. They also asked him about the weapons that they're using, yeah. the, mm-hmm. The kinds of weapons and how to escalate and de-escalate situations, like why police would never arrive at a peaceful protest with riot gear, because that would simply escalate things. And here's what he had to say about this. Listen carefully. These are old interviews that he gave right here in the Fargo-Moorhead region on Chris Berg's 6:30 Point of View show on Valley News Live.
You know, I think a lot of what's happening out there is the misperception on how we utilize certain pieces of equipment. We don't use this equipment as a grenade launcher, nor should we ever have the ability to launch grenades. We use them for gas. We use them for smoke, you know, to extract out of a critical incident situation. If people are under fire, that's what we use equipment like that for.
Okay, my last question for you is this. Have you ever seen Dr. Philip Zimbardo's prison experiment where they took random people, threw them downstairs? Some were cops.
I have not seen that.
Because the idea behind this experiment is, hey, when you put on this type of equipment, i.e. cop equipment or the camos, the assault rifles, all that kind of stuff, it starts to play with you thinking maybe you're a little bit more empowered than you actually are. And I think that's where you're seeing people be concerned about, again, where is this balance of community policing versus going up and showing up in camos and assault rifles? And I got 30 seconds. I want to give you the last word on that.
You know, I think you have to realize that we have that really good balance here, because if you look at, we have that same equipment here, and we don't have that kind of unrest with our public. That very same Bearcat that you see rolling down the street that you saw yesterday in the church parking lot where the individual had the weapon and unfortunately took his own life is the very same Bearcat you'll see at the Fargo Police Community Picnic with the kids crawling all around in it to see what it is and what it's all about. If you're transparent and you're honest with the public, like I believe we are, you don't have the issues.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Can we just take a moment to just take that in?
Yeah. There's been no bullets flying at Standing Rock, and these vehicles are sitting there in front of all the people. There's no bullets flying. In fact, there's people on top of these equipment with live rounds of ammo and other munitions that they're shooting at people. No one's been shooting at them. There's been, like, allegedly a rock thrown. You don't need a Bearcat for a rock.
You heard, he specifically said, we don't have these issues here.
That's right. We don't have these issues here.
Yeah, you don't have these issues here until you have these issues here.
Mm-hmm.
But he also said, we should never have the ability to use them as grenade launchers.
That's right.
We should never have the ability to do that. The guy asks him, hey, people are just concerned that you're going to misuse this stuff. Could you address that? And he's like, oh, yeah, I agree completely. We should never have the right to do that kind of stuff. And now he's justifying it.
Yeah.
Now he's justifying doing those very things that he was before. He was just telling you. I kept trying to tell people in the public, because when we were talking about why are we buying a giant, you know, tank with the turret on the top and putting it in the public fairs.
Yeah, and putting it in the park and letting kids crawl all over it? Come on.
This is weird. I feel like I'm in a dystopian universe. Yeah. And I said, no, this is not normal. It shouldn't be normal. And when we started talking about this and we put this pushback on the line, he was like, listen, public, this is just a tool. It's just another tool in my tool belt. It's in my arsenal of things I can use. And someday, I could be using it to go and save the life of a police officer. Or I could be using it to save your life. You want me to have the Bearcat then, don't you? It's all hype.
Mm-hmm.
They made us believe that they could use these things for good when they are meant to be used for war. This is not a toy for kids to be climbing on. This isn't a bouncy house. Are you kidding me? He tries to normalize it,
yeah.
But it's not normal. Now, let us hear the new Laney, the now Laney, the Laney that's sitting up in Bismarck harassing young ladies like Liz George and Kana Newell, which I have an exclusive interview with. I'm going to share with you tonight. I interviewed those two young ladies. Do you guys remember seeing that video? We're going to play it for you right now so you can hear. This is the video that they shot in a Bismarck eatery at a Chinese restaurant, I believe, where Minot Police Chief Ziegler and Sheriff Paul Laney of Cass County called these two women over basically to harass them and tell them to get out of the town before the sun went down, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
And then they were like, whoa, like, we're going to stay here until the snake is dead. And he threatened them. And when they didn't stop talking, like, you know, the people under his slave control are supposed to do whenever he speaks to them from his glorious mountain, he threatened to arrest them. He threatened to arrest two young ladies for simply following their orders. They went over and talked to the police when the police asked them to come over. Imagine what he would have said if they hadn't followed his orders. So here is the police chief and Sheriff Laney in that audio clip.
Read to. For what are you going to arrest us for?
Disorderly conduct.
For how is this disorderly conduct?
Because we've asked you to leave so these gentlemen can enjoy their meals and so we can enjoy our meals. This okay. is
yes,
this
you're
is
right.
Private,
try to have a conversation.
This is a private
it's
restaurant.
Not going anywhere.
Okay, can I just say that you guys called us over to talk
and
to
now
us?
Now we're asking you.
Yeah, but like, so you have authority.
I'm going to tell you one more time to leave this restaurant. Go ahead, videotape me. Yep. Leave this restaurant.
All right, sir. What's your name? Yeah, what are your names? Can I get your names, please?
That would be Chief Ziegler and Sheriff Laney. Now, you got about 2 seconds
to
go. Okay, guys?
Yeah,
let us eat our dinner in peace. Have a good night.
Awesome. Thank you so much. You guys are exactly... No, we're not
exactly
home.
We
are home.
We're exactly...
So, like, right at the end there, you heard people going, go home.
Go home.
Go home.
Yep.
The Chinese restaurant filled with a lot of angry white people.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the folks in Bismarck have been intimidated by the very police, as you've heard in previous programs, where people were even calling, the police departments were even calling folks in Bismarck and Mandan and telling them, there's some scary protesters around here, and are you scared of them? Don't go outside. They'll be out there. It is worse than the 60s, Kathy. I am horrified.
Mm-hmm.
Rusty says, kind of like Alabama in the 60s. Yep. So,
this is North Dakota in 2016.
Yes, it is. It seems like a dystopian world, but it's really the true thing. So now I want to share with you, here's the interview with Liz George and Kana Newell.
And it's also 23 minutes long, you know, but just listen and, listen to what they have to say.
Hello, this is Cindy Gomez-Shemp with KPPPLP 88.1 Fargo-Moorhead. And I have on the phone with me Kana Newell, I hope I said that correctly, and Liz yep. George. And welcome to the show. Thank you for talking to me. Can you guys introduce yourselves individually and tell me where you're from?
Definitely. My name is Liz George. I'm 25 years old. I work in the film industry, and I'm from Detroit, Michigan.
I'm Kana Newell. I'm half Japanese, half American, and I grew up in Tokyo. I'm 23.
Fantastic. And what did you say? I'm sorry to cut you off.
I'm a female. I'm a woman.
Okay.
We're both women.
Awesome. So I wanted to ask you about the incident that you posted about. We just recently aired a program where we featured that. There's been a lot of reports recently from folks that are going into Bismarck or Mandan and being harassed by police, stopped by police, profiled by the police, or by pro-Dapple people in town. And I wanted to ask you about this particular incident where you were asked to talk to Cass County Sheriff Paul Laney and Mandan Police Chief Jason Ziegler. Can you tell me where you guys were and how that incident started?
So we went there to eat dinner. We were paying customers. We were having a really good time together. You know, it was a really long day, so we just wanted a good laugh and some good food. As we were about to leave the restaurant is when the two officers spoke to us and instigated conversation. They said We said, are you girls going back to camp, or are you planning on staying in Mandan tonight? And that was kind of the beginning of the conversation. So kind of instead of leaving the restaurant, we walked over and we said, and we were actually heading into Bismarck that night, so we told them that. And then they just had more and more questions for us. Sorry, got a bit of a cough. Had more and more questions for us, which were very, like, they were calm at first, so we felt it wasn't an intimidating situation. So we responded to their questions, and then go ahead, Kana. So basically, they told us that what we're doing isn't helping anyone, and that basically they told us that the actions we were doing that are just disruptive to the people who live in Mandan. And so we actually wanted to listen and hear what they were saying, because we felt like we could take that back constructively to camp and discuss that. So we were very open to the conversation. Mm-hmm. And he just kept going back to that we were like disrupting things. So we kind of, and we had gone to an action that morning in Mandan where we marched around the city. And so we said the reason that we did that was we wanted to send a message that what happened the night before on the bridge, the Sunday night attack, was not okay. Mm-hmm. And to that he responded that he thought that what happened on the bridge was okay and it was necessary, it was justified. Yeah. And that was really hard to hear, because we have several hundred people who are wounded. That was our reply. That was how we responded. We have, we have 200 people who are injured. 100 plus are in the hospital right now. Mm-hmm. A woman is about to be amputated. And he responded with, well, I have two officers who are injured. And we have no records. We have no records of any of people being injured. Mm-hmm. That was really hard to hear, because they were basically denying. They were also trying to make an example of us. So they were talking very loudly in the restaurant so that they could spread the message they wanted everyone to hear. And it was a very supportive environment for them, because, the two men sitting across the table were nodding their heads. And they were talking very loudly. They said the two of them were injured. We have no records. And then to that, we were struggling with that, because, it's obvious what happened. And we were there when
we were there that night.
Yeah, we were there that night. Saw what happened. Yep. We transported people to medic. Kana was on the front line. So we kind of try to disengage, but at the same time, we kind of wanted to stand up for what we were saying. And at that point, he was really talking over at us, and he was kind of realizing that we were to accept everything he had to say. So Kana just very politely said, can you please hold some space for me to speak? And he was really irritated with that question, or with that request.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started to speak.
He gave me a couple seconds to speak, and then he started speaking over
again. And he pretty much, okay, it's time for you girls to leave. That we're disrupting other people's meals.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's two gentlemen over here. And we're nodding, even though, like, the whole time we had been, I'm pretty sure what they wanted was a reaction out of us. They weren't getting the reaction they wanted. They wanted us to get agitated. We just weren't. That's not what we were trying to do. We were trying to have a meal after what was a horrendous, horrific, traumatic evening the night before. So we weren't giving them what they wanted, and so they asked us to leave.
Because, as you can see in the video, it says the conversation. Well, they said that the conversation wasn't going anywhere, which is why we had to leave. So it was basically on their terms. And when we had to leave.
And that's when and then he kind of said, like, I'm pretty sure I asked him, like, well, it's not fair that you dictate, like, you called us over here. We didn't come over, like, on our own. And so
to understand that you get to dictate when we come and when we go. And he said, at that point, he was like, well, you have, we'll arrest you for disorderly conduct if you don't leave now.
Yeah, you have 2 minutes.
So then I pulled out my phone and I started recording because, and a lot of people are asking, why weren't you recording beforehand? Well, because we didn't go into that situation thinking this was going to be in any sort of like argument. We just thought we would be open to hearing what they had to say. And we didn't want to do that with a camera stuck in your face. So,
yeah.
I have a couple of questions to follow that up. No. the first one that pops to my mind is, do you feel differently now about recording the police every time they ask you to talk to them?
Definitely. Definitely. And I guess, like today was an example of that. Mm-hmm. We were in Bismarck. Mm-hmm. The car we were in was pulled over because, we actually parked on the side of the road, and after we had parked, we saw the lights behind us, and the cop came up, and basically was his accusation was that we hadn't put the blinker on when we turned right, but our hazards were on, which is why he couldn't see the blinker. And as soon as he came over, I pulled out my camera and started recording, and I think that it agitated him. So he gave us 3 citations. He gave us 3 citations, mm-hmm. for the most ridiculous thing. And one is definitely an illegal thing to charge us for. But basically, we feel nervous around the cops, but we also feel like from here on out, any interaction I will record because mm-hmm. I don't trust the cops in Mandan. I don't trust the cops in Bismarck, and I definitely don't trust the cops anywhere in North Dakota because apparently they're coming in from all over the state and multiple other states.
Well, you know, you guys sound horrible right now. You guys sound like you're really sick, and I have to tell you, I've interviewed so many people that were on the front lines that sound really, really sick and traumatized, and I'm sorry. Yeah. That you were profiled.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
By the police. It sounds like the hate crimes and profiling in this country are going to start immediately, even before our new KKK endorsed president takes power.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to also ask you, did it feel, because I mean, I was listening to your interview and I was thinking, it sounded like what you were saying was like you were singled out by these officers so that they could perform some kind of theater to make you into examples of what they want other people to do to anybody that looks like they're Minnie Wiccioni Waterer's lifer.
Definitely. Yep. I think they wanted us to say our part, and then I think they wanted to denounce everything we said. And I think they also were hoping for a reaction because they kept trying to agitate, and they weren't getting that out of us. But they also, I mean, like I said, they were bringing the two gentlemen at the other table into the conversation. And it was a scene. Like, it was a scene. We walked out to a older white woman yelling at us, go home.
Mm-hmm.
Which for 2 women of color and 2 women who are allies to indigenous people here, that's a difficult mm-hmm. thing to hear. On the one hand, for the indigenous people, this is their home.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, as someone of Indian heritage, I've heard that in Michigan, in a racist way, spoken to my dad because he has an accent. And they basically said, go back to your country.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a person of color in this country, it's a very difficult thing mm-hmm. to hear. So there's a lot when a white person screams, go home at you.
Mm-hmm.
I think mm-hmm. the whole restaurant pretty much was engaged. They were in support of the police officers. And those police officers were trying to make an example out of us.
That has to be terrifying, especially in the face of watching from the front lines yourselves as the Morton County Sheriff's Department and their law enforcement officers were basically trying to kill people.
Yeah. We saw to what extent they will go to protect a corporation.
And now you are watching further to what extent they are willing to go to get you to leave.
Yeah.
What have you learned from this experience with both, this was a police chief and a sheriff.
Yeah.
These are the law enforcement leaders of these organizations. And by the way, Cass County Sheriff Laney recently was videotaped by Unicorn Riot along with Fargo Police right here in the area where this broadcast will be heard. Beating a veteran for handing the police a flower.
Oh, yeah. We definitely heard about that.
Yeah. And so that was the same guy.
Yep.
That you...
I did not know that was... I mean, we heard the story earlier. We met the people who were arrested with him. And... not knowing the same person, that gives me chills to think about.
I wanted to ask you about that. That was the same guy that led that group of officers where, you know, they were being asked about that spit hood that they put over his bleeding head. And he said, that's a perfectly legitimate spit hood. How did...
One thing that I was thinking is that at the end of all this, people plan, or at least I think, and definitely, that we're going to go home, we're going to leave the community.
I'm sorry, I'm going to have you start your response over again because you're breaking in and out really badly.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
So that's something we were talking about earlier, is that at the end of this, we plan on staying here definitely, but at the end of this whole thing, we're probably going to end up going back to our homes or on our way, and the community, the indigenous community here, has to face those people for as long as they live here, which is probably the rest of their lives. And they have to face harassment and targeting and everything that we're facing, they're going to continue to face unless something is done about the way that the police are brutalizing and harassing people and intimidating people. It's we have the privilege of being able to leave this place. And this is people's home, you know, and this is people's communities. And it's really hard to think that this is what's going to be, this is what they're going to face going from here.
I really appreciate you saying that because we've been doing a campaign to film the police locally here and record their misconduct and brutality against the local population for 2 years under the hashtag cop coverage campaign. And we have heard numerous reports of the local police here being brutal to the population and engaging in blatant misconduct. And it was just crickets. It's been crickets in terms of, you know, we've made headway in educating the public about filming the police and also in having discussions about the accountability of police, even in making the police come forward and say, yes, it's legal for people to film us, because at first they were attacking people that filmed them. But you've experienced that. You guys are experiencing the media blackout.
Yeah, definitely.
So the reality is that what you are talking about today here on this program is a reality we've been living with for a while. And your voices are adding to that narrative that we need to do something. That we cannot accept this kind of harassment and terrorization of our community from those who have been charged with the duty of serving the community and protecting the community. What message do you have for those two officers that, how does this make you feel about them and about the law enforcement community that is here that you will leave behind?
That's a good question. Because we're going to continue to keep laws in peace. Even with that, you can't excuse their behavior. So, like, as much as we will always approach everything with love, approach everything in a peaceful manner, we want to make sure that they're held accountable for what they're doing, not just to us, but to everyone else. Every indigenous, every person of color, every person, every water project is affecting the target. And for nothing, for doing nothing. We just want to make sure that they're held accountable for that. And that's pretty much.
I also want to say, people listening, it's important to know your rights.
Yes.
And facing police officers who are taking advantage of their power.
And I encourage everyone to film interactions like that, because they cannot continue to get away with this. And we've been Facebook Live feeding everything, just because if we are arrested, not that, but when we do a service, we've been trying to Facebook feed things, just because if we are arrested, we've heard too many stories of people whose phones have been seized, cameras haven't been given back, that have not been inventoried, memory cards that have been destroyed, things like that, which makes me concerned for people. So I would say, like, it's Facebook Live, it's out. So you has an app that allows you to record, goes right into their database, and then they have people reviewing it, which I think is amazing thing because, yeah.
Yeah, and we've heard a lot of those same reports too. So I'm sorry for the choppy sound for our listeners. It's we'll try to improve our connections, but you guys are in a place where it's very difficult to get a good cell connection in the first place.
Yeah.
I really hope that you and all of the hundreds of water protectors that have been assaulted by water cannons and munitions and all of these different assaults on your bodies, on your hearts and minds, heal.
Thank you, sir.
And if you have any updates for us, I hope that you'll come back on our show and share them at another time. And we wish you the best as you continue to fight to protect the water for all of us. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the support and for hearing us.
Thank you very much for everything you're doing. Mini Wichoni, water is life.
Mini Wichoni, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I've been saying that a lot.
Yeah, make sure you mic's on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, there's my mic. I'm back. So Tony Brave Thunder said, "My whole life, Bismarck and Mandan have been treating us this way. Some are trying to change, but we dealt with this abuse year after year, and we bring a lot of revenue to businesses." That's right. Indigenous yeah. people bring a lot of revenue to all of the towns in the area, but they treat Indigenous people really poorly, And that isn't okay.
No, it's not.
And Earl Peltier says, they call Native people uncivilized and savages, but we knew the Creator long before the Bible was even brought here.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We were not greedy people. We did not have money, as we all provided for each other's needs as respect for each other. We lived in harmony with the earth. Now, when people look back on the truth of the past, they see who the real uncivilized and savages are, who now again show the truth in this day and age. Mm-hmm. And we here can see who the savages are. We are being treated brutally by this legal system. I want you to hear Jimmy Dore talk about, you guys turned me on to Jimmy Dore.
Yeah.
And we have a little clip for you, yeah, if you'll bear with us.
An 8-minute clip, and he's talking about Sheriff Laney, and this is from an outsider in another place of the country.
And just before we go to this, I just want to say something. I have a link to this. The law enforcement is so desperate. Eric Ladd is so desperate. Morton County Monsters are so desperate that they have started a grand jury probe. If you don't know what that is, it's really just a tool to try to intimidate water protectors and their allies into silence. We are living in a police state. We are living in a fascist state. And let me tell you, this is where it is taking us. We have a bunch of elected officials and law enforcement leaders that think that they're above the law, that they think they can violate the law. And in fact, I have a link to an article that I was interviewed for by Karima Towns of thinkprogress.org. I mean, they expose police brutality. They do research and stories. If you guys know Think Progress, they're pretty awesome, right? And they did a great story on the violence at Standing Rock, what's happening to water protectors, how they're being attacked on all sides, not just by the law enforcement, but by the heavy-handed prosecution, by the treatment of the police, by the way that they're neglected medically and otherwise in jail. It's all in there. You need to go take a look at it. Thinkprogress.org, the violence at Standing Rock happening behind the front lines. We'll have the link for you along with this show. But I want you to hear what this comedian and news analyst Jimmy Dore has to say about Sheriff Laney.
So if you've been following what's happening in North Dakota, the Army Corps of Engineers has decided to delay the permits. They're not granting those permits to go under the lake. So it's been temporarily stopped. So it's a temporary win. It's a temporary win. So that's what I'm looking at. It's a temporary win. A lot of powerful forces are conspiring. You know, the veterans, Michael Wood Jr., he was on the show, Wesley Clark Jr., they put together a group of veterans. 4,000 veterans showed up at Standing Rock. That's amazing. And so they had raised $1 million, right, to help all this. The bank that has their money is put a hole. They won't let them access it.
Are you kidding?
No.
They did eventually, but...
So now they can. Yeah. So Michael Wood, I texted him. He said they had access to limited funds. Now they're getting access to their funds again. So there's lots of crazy stuff like that happening. I get emails from people saying that we were trying to raise money for medical care for the medics going to DAPL. And the company that has our ambulance gave it away to someone else because they didn't want us to use it, even though it's not theirs to give away. There's all kinds of corporate fascism happening, right? And if you want to see another, their point man fascist with the gun, it's this guy, right? So this is the sheriff, and this guy's a criminal. If you don't know what's been happening up there, the cops are the ones who are criminals up in North Dakota defending corporate criminals, right? So this is the world we live in. And, of course, we have corporate-owned government, so they don't do anything. And, in fact, the corporate-owned government is the one out there doing the violence. And Barack Obama turns a blind eye and a blind ear and a deaf ear, and so does Elizabeth Warren. Elizabeth Warren came out and said something the other day.
Mm.
Ooh.
What, isn't that amazing? December 2nd? Maybe?
Democratic Party is so done. They're so done. So here's this guy. Let's watch this. Here's the sheriff, and here's what he said.
We have received very concerning intel that an element within the protest movement wants to exploit veterans with PTSD, arm them, and try to trigger their PTSD and turn them aggressive. Besides being horrible and wrong, it could be dangerous and deadly.
So, always be aware, be wary of double-chinned guys with a centimeter of hair on top of their head. Why? Because they're fascists and they're the tools of fascists. This guy's a criminal, okay? So just so you know, just because he's got he's angry at his hair, and what is it about this? They want to cut it as short as possible. Get the hair off of my head. And that still doesn't mean you're not a criminal and a thug, and that's who that guy is. And what they're doing out there to those people are criminal. What he's doing right now is lying. What he's doing is setting up a lie so that when they go and violently brutalize people who are peaceful, now he can point and say, oh, they're... So this idea that somehow they're going to bring veterans in who have post-traumatic stress disorder, going to give them guns and then try to freak them out. And then this is the crazy, this is a brilliant idea. This is how dumb cops are. This is the best lie he could come up with. And he doesn't even need to lie because he knows he's lying. Again, whenever you lie or commit a criminal act in defense of the system, there's never a price to pay for that. So just remember that. That's why Debbie Wasserman Schultz, when she had to resign in disgrace for being corrupt, she didn't go to jail or get even embarrassed. She got another job with Hillary Clinton. So when you lie and commit criminal acts on behalf of the establishment, you're fine. And that's what this guy's doing. So he's lying at the behests of his fascist overlords, corporations. And so this is about as despicable as it gets in law enforcement. That guy right there. He's about as bad as they come.
He's also setting it up so that he can send in one of his own guys and take a shot.
Yeah, that's all. But by the way, we know they do that.
And then have a narrative built up right around that.
I mean, an infiltrator. Yeah. So the cops would send somebody, pretend that he's, and then that have that guy go nuts.
They do that all the time.
They do it. They do that all the time.
Protesters breaking windows.
Yeah, all the time. Yeah. They caught cops doing that Occupy Wall Street. Yeah. The cops that were agitating, cops that were trying to start violence, were cops. The people doing that were cops.
Yeah.
So remember, you have to remember, cops are criminals. That's your jumping off point. It's okay. It's okay to think that. They are. And to just keep that in mind. We need them. You need to have police. You don't need to have these kind of police.
Well, our police culture has turned into this culture of terrorizing citizens.
Yes. We live in a police state, in case you haven't noticed. And now it's all about, it used to be that the cops were risking their safety for years. They were risking their life to ensure your safety. Now it's all about my safety, the cop's safety. I got to make sure I get home at night. No, that's what I have to do. You have to make sure I get home safe at night. That's why you are a cop and you get to have a gun and have all this extra unbelievable power in our society. So I get home safely and you might lose your life, but it's all twisted now. It's all backwards. Now it's all about cops saying, Barack Obama said it. You know, cops, they got to get home to their, by the way, policing, one of the safest jobs in the world. Okay. So any cop who claims, screams about cop safety is also a giant liar, right? Because it's one of the safest jobs in the world, So just keep that in mind.
And, you know, Jimmy, when I watched this, the person in charge of his police force, when he says this stuff, you know, I'm horrified. I'm frightened. And, you know, this is what the Native Americans have been dealing with forever.
Yes. Yeah. These are the guys that the Native Americans have been dealing with forever. So there you go. So there's so if you want to know who's the criminal in North Dakota, it's that guy. It's the sheriff. Paul Delaney, that's your sheriff, Paul Delaney. How do you say a criminal? I say Paul Delaney. How do you know he's a criminal? His name is Paul Delaney. That's how you know. Gutless, the opposite of courage, the opposite of character, the opposite of integrity, the opposite of standing up for the Constitution, and the opposite of protecting your citizens. It's Paul Delaney. He's the opposite of all that stuff. And everyone gets to see right there. So maybe his kids see this or his wife. And in their hearts, they know that this guy's a loser. They know this guy's the opposite. He's a coward. He's the opposite of what he claims to be. He's a brutal maniac. They know that he likes to be violent within. He probably beat out of them. I don't know. I'm guessing. So anybody who knows this guy knows what he is. And this guy knows what he is, too. He's always been this. This isn't a shock to him that he has no character. This isn't a shock to him. He looks in the mirror every day. He knows what he is.
And look at his
a creep.
And look at his hubris. He has no problem making this announcement. And he believes in it that you're going to be convinced.
Yeah. Yeah, you're just lying to yourself. So just to sum up, when veterans, when soldiers go over to the Middle East at the behest of oil companies and kill people and actually get PTSD, that's okay. Six tours, keep going. But when they come back home and then they want to protest against oil companies, that's when they're dangerous. That's when there's something wrong. You know how their brains got messed up fighting in at the behest of oil companies? Now they're too broken to protest against them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We can't have any veterans protecting the earth. Oh, my God. Can you imagine? They're only supposed to go and beat up on third world countries and people with no power and no weapons, no nuclear power. That's what our armies are for. I've seen your comments all about the SoundCloud of Energy Transfer Partners on Trump coming into office. I heard it. I did hear it. I want you to know, I'm not surprised by that. Are you guys surprised? Energy Transfer Partners announced the same day that the Army Corps of Engineers said they were going to deny the easement, that they were going to continue work as usual. They weren't going to stop at all. We already knew that they were going to do that. They boldly announced it the same day.
Yeah, we've got to get over where we think that we know what, you know, it can't happen or we know what's going on because the rules have changed. There's nothing that you can assume is the same because they've been breaking all those rules. They've been breaking all those laws continually. We have to expect they're going to continue to do the same and not honor any agreements.
And the pipeline police are not your protectors and servers. The pipeline police are not the people that are here to take care of us. The pipeline police are there to make sure that that pipeline gets built. They're here to do the work, the bidding of their overlords. Hey, Alex! Whee! Good to see you. And I got to tell you guys, this isn't something that is unexpected in North Dakota with a governor that's invested in this, with a lieutenant governor that's calling these people criminals, with the criminalization of peaceful people that has been done here in North Dakota. All evidence to the contrary doesn't matter. Doesn't matter that the world media and the national media has seen the truth of what is happening here in North Dakota. The pipeline police want you, and the pipeline police and their allies, and Eric Ladd. Is that his name?
I don't know.
Ladson? Erickson Ladd? I can't remember now. The prosecutor from McLean County who has been vilified by Radley Balco in the Washington Post article talking about how this guy should be removed from office. He shouldn't be allowed to practice because of his overcharging, because of the crazy ways in which he has abused his power as a prosecutor. All the way from the prosecutor to the police that have taken it upon themselves to work for a pipeline and everybody in between. Those people need to be held accountable for what they're doing. Those people need to be held accountable. And you know what they're going to do right now? While everyone is vulnerable up there, they're going to want you to doubt all the people that are there. They're going to bring up a lot of other things. Don't get distracted, okay? Pay attention. They're going to tell you, oh, those Indians are corrupt. Stop helping them. Listen, let me tell you something. Those indigenous people include right now Chase Iron Eyes and the Indigenous Environmental Network, all people whom we support and love, all people who are there protecting your water and my water, okay? And the Indigenous Environmental Network and Chase Iron Eyes have raised money along with Sean King. We, as I have said before, are the fiscal agents for the Last Real Indians, so we too have been sent money for the Last Real Indians, for the people at Standing Rock, which we give to them for them. This is something that we have been doing for years. We've been the fiscal agents of Last Real Indians for years. We also assisted them when they were getting money for Peshla.
That's right.
This is something that we do. We're not going to stop doing this. Do not be distracted. The support in Standing Rock is still needed. We still need your support. Don't let people turn you against the people at Standing Rock. Not law enforcement, not the courts. We have to continue to stand together. We have to continue to stand strong. Remember, Mini Wachoni, water is life. You've been listening to A Mexican Crossing Lines on 88.1 KPPPLP Fargo Moorhead, where we're adding local color to your airwaves. Thanks for listening.